Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your kindness. God, it's just hard to keep up these days from Sunday to Sunday. It's either a hurricane or a shooting or a fire or earthquake. And so much going on, Lord. And as we stand in the gap and pray for others, pray for our leadership of this country, pray for this world, Lord. We just pray for your mercy and your grace upon those that you've called to be saved, Lord, that you would delay your coming so some might be saved, Lord. But we just stand in the gap now. We just say thank you, Lord, for sustaining us once again. And then thank you for your word as it instructs us on how to navigate as we try our best to navigate through a fallen, broken, dying, decaying world. We need the light of your word more today than ever. We thank you that it's a lamp and a light. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us without your Holy Spirit. And thank you that you didn't leave us without the word. We wouldn't know what to do without your word. But we thank you. Holy Spirit, teach us now. We open our hearts and minds to receive what God is speaking to us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 1. We'll pick it up there. So before we start, how about we play our game, How Many? You guys remember the game, How Many? How many have not eaten yet this morning? Wow. Hope you took advantage of the praying and fasting time. Amen. How many had the opportunity to at least read the Proverbs at least once a week this day? I do want to see your hands. All right. How many of you had the opportunity to look over your worship scriptures at least once this week? All right. God's given us a formula to stay connected with him daily, and I just encourage you all to take advantage of it. If you don't have in your notes, this is still the message, Is God Enough, part 13. It's a whole series now, a whole mini-series. As a matter of fact, it just turned into a movie, right? But we are talking about having a kingdom mentality. So God has instructed us on having a kingdom mentality, which means my mindset is focused on God and the things of God. That's why I pray and that's why I fast. That's why I read the worship scriptures. That's why I fellowship with like-minded believers. Remember, this is not performance-based. It's not that I'm trying to earn brownie points with God. I'm trying my best to stay connected with God, because outside of God, I don't know what might happen to me. I'm trying to keep my mind focused on the things of God, because when I get off focus of the things of God, I might do anything and be anywhere. So it's not performance-based. We're not trying to gain brownie points. We are trying to stay connected to God. So we're trying to have a kingdom mentality. In Bible study on Wednesday night, we were in Romans 12. And famous scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2, where Paul is begging us to be a living sacrifice and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If your mind, if you don't have a kingdom mentality, if your mind doesn't start leaning towards the things of God, then there's no way that you can be transformed. Your behavior will not follow. The mind starts renovating your mind. That's what it means by transform. Renovating, extreme home makeover, renovate your mind with the things of God. Then your behavior will follow. Then it just takes practice, like anything else. Amen? Just like when you learned how to ride a bike, right? And you crashed into the wall and a tree. Yeah, you did. I remember teaching my kids how to ride a bike, and it was like in the park, and it was just one tree, a big old park and one tree, and all of them just right to the tree. Bam. It's just, I don't even know how that happens. But the more they practiced, then, you know, and they start walking, you know. So we practice, just like we practice anything else. you know, practice walking. We all walked in here. We didn't crawl in here. We had to learn how to walk at some point. God is saying the same thing. You got to renew your mind with his word. Then you practice that. And then you see the results in your behavior and in your lifestyles. Kingdom lifestyle, kingdom mindset. All right, let's get into the word. Did I say 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1? All right, here we go. Paul is talking to the church at Thessalonica. It is an infant church. It is a beginning church. It is a new church. And so Paul is speaking to them. 5 and 1 is a review, quick review, 5 and 1, 1, 2, and 3, I think. It's a quick review. Paul is talking about when Jesus comes back. Verse 1, he says, "But of the times and the season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you," because no one knows when Jesus Christ is coming back, when he's going to crack the sky. We don't know that. So Paul is saying, I don't need to tell you about the time. He said, just be ready, because he's coming back. Let's not get into, okay, is he coming tomorrow? Is he coming next week? He said, no, that's not the point. Paul is saying right now that we all need to be ready because Jesus Christ promised that he would return. He told us in Matthew 24 what things would come to pass before he would return. We see some of those things happening, so we know that the time is near. So Paul said, but in light of that, I don't need to talk to you about that. Just be ready. Verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. We talked about that. No one knows when a thief is going to break into their house. If you knew, you would be on watch. You would be waiting. You would be prepared. Say, Jesus Christ is going to come when you don't expect it. He is going to come back like a thief in the night. You don't plan on a thief coming unless you're trying to set somebody up. Back in the day, some of y'all might have done something like that, but, you know, leave the door open. I wish somebody would, can be waiting for somebody. But for most of us, we have no idea when somebody's going to break into our house, and we hope and pray that it never happens. It has to be one of the most terrifying things for someone to come into your house when you are asleep and not aware of it. But Paul said, and Jesus said, it's going to happen just like that. We talked about the 10 virgins. 5 prepared, 5 stupid, 5 got into the wedding feast, 5 God didn't even know. But they thought they knew him. So he's saying that it's going to happen like a thief in the night. Verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, and we know there's no peace without the Prince of Peace, and then destruction and shall come upon them as a woman in labor pains, as labor pains upon a woman, they shall not escape. So he talked about you shall see wars and rumors of wars and diseases and earthquakes and hurricanes. How did Jesus know 2017 years ago? How did he know that everything would be happening the way that he said it would be happening? Either he's guessing or either he's God. It's hard to guess what's going to happen 2017 years from now. But you read Matthew 24, Jesus is right on. He said, don't let anything take your heart from me. He talked about this last point, then we'll go ahead and get into today's lesson. Is there anything that would prevent you, if Christ came back tonight, that you would tell him, no, I want to hang out a little bit and do, I was just going to... You fill in the blank. So we know that he's going to come back based on verse 2, sudden and without warning. Sudden and without warning. So then Paul shifts. We get to verse 4. Paul makes a huge shift. He talks about, he goes from talking about preparing for Christ to personally knowing who you are. Let me say that again in verse 4. Paul makes a shift. He gets very personal. He's talking to his new church, and now he just gets personal. Okay, you need to be ready for Christ, but now let me talk about you. Let me see if you know who you are. All right, it gets deep. It gets real deep. It gets real personal. It gets real deep. It gets real sensitive right now. Verse 4, he says, But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. He's saying, you're not caught up in a bunch of dark stuff. You're not caught up in a bunch of sin. You're not caught up in a bunch of shadiness. That word darkness means shadiness. You're not doing a lot of shady stuff. You're not in the shade, in the dark. You're not in a bunch of sin. So that the day is going to creep up on you and overtake you and catch you off guard. Because if you're caught up in a bunch of stuff, a bunch of sin, a bunch of shadiness, a bunch of darkness, you won't know when Christ is coming. We talked about it just being a strong delusion of that the world offers. That's why Paul is saying have a kingdom mentality. Then he tries to tell us who we are in verse 5. You are the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Oh, so make a note. Those of you making notes, write, who am I? You got to ask yourself. Paul is talking to his church that he planted. Beginning church, infant church. Paul is saying, but you are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. All right. So let's make two distinctions then. Paul is making a distinction as well. So if we're the children of the light and the day, then there are also children of the darkness and the night. So let's be clear right now. There are two types of people. There are two types of children, those of the day and those of the night, those of the darkness and those of the light. Who are you and how do you know? All right, so let's take it over to John. 1 John. So yeah, let's go to 1 John. Let's see what 1 John has to say about it. We see what Paul says. Now let's see what John says about it. And then we'll see what Jesus says about it. Family, we have to be really careful. I know it's a hard word this morning, Pastor. I know, Pastor, it's a hard. It is. Because the culture is telling us that we're all equal. We're all alike. We just have to love each other, which is good. I get that. But we're not. And we're all children of God. No, we're not all children of God. We were all created by God, but we're not all children of God. Because right here it says there's a children of light and a children of darkness. It's hard to see the distinction these days. I was sharing a story at Bible study. And one of the teachers I teach, when she was here a couple of weeks ago, and we had a conversation after service. She's at a new school. And she said, it's a gender neutral school where everybody's the same. Elementary school, public school, gender neutral. It's no light, it's no dark, everybody's the same. She said, I keep getting in trouble because I can't say, boys and girls, you need to sit down. They said, no, we don't say that here. This is what's going on. See, and so the world is saying we're all the same. It's not even male and female anymore. God said in the beginning he created male and female. But the world is saying, stop, don't make any distinctions, we're all the same. The word says, either you're children of light or you're children of darkness. I'm blown away with that. I've been teaching for over 30 years. I've never heard anything like that in my life. That you can't call elementary school kids boys and girls. Have a seat. Boys and girls, I need your attention. Young men and young ladies, I do it all the time when I'm teaching. And she says she's having trouble. She's getting written up for it. And she's a student teacher. And she says, when I finish this semester, I'm going to transfer back to another school. Because I'm very uncomfortable. And she's a new teacher, and the principal told her, I'm glad you're here so I can mold you into what I think you should be. She said, Professor Carter, I'm pretty liberal, but I'm very uncomfortable. public school. We're all the same. I wasn't a huge proponent of it when my kids were in school, but homeschool sounds like if that's what they're going to start teaching in schools, I'm going to keep my kids at home. Because there is a difference. But so, family, that's just be aware. When you see it, I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm telling you, you got to be aware of what the word says so at least you have something to compare it to. You have to have a standard. You have to have a standard. God left the standard, which is his word. Okay, that's a 1 John 1:4. 1 John 1:4, J.L. John is saying, in these things I'm writing unto you that your joy may be complete, your calm delight may be complete. How do we have joy? By following God's word, and John is going to tell us how. So here we go. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay, so there is a distinction, there is a difference. Paul said we're the children of light, so that means we have God's spirit in us. Because God is light, we have God in us, we're the children of light. In God, God is light, and in God there's no darkness at all. So he said, well, pastor, but as one of my colleagues, my business colleagues, would say, man, why is it so much evil, and why did God create evil? God did not create evil, because God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all, so God couldn't have created evil. But the question still comes up. Why is it so much evil in the world? Well, because we all have a choice to be the children of light or be children of the darkness. So God's given us a choice. God didn't create robots. God wants us to love him because God is that good and everything that he's done for us. I mean, it's the same relationship that you want to have with your spouse. You don't want to program your spouse to love you. I mean, then they love you because you program them to love you. You want them to love you because they love you because you love them. And it's a reverence between the marriage relationship. You don't want your kids to, you don't want to program them. Well, maybe we do want to program our kids. maybe we do want to program, not you, JL, the other, oh, they're here today. Okay, not you. It's normally the other two when they're not here, but not you. We'll talk later. But you don't want to program your kids. You want them to love you and then reverence out of respect for the parent-child relationship. What's the point of having a kid that's a... You might as well just buy a robot. It does everything you say. It cleans the house. It washes the dishes. It don't tell you, no, I don't want to do the dishes tonight. Oh, no, I'm not going to clean my room. Just buy a robot. But then what's the point of that? Because then there's no spontaneity. It's no fun. It's no hanging out. It's no laughter. You can't laugh with a robot. Or you can program it to laugh at your jokes. That might be kind of cool. But it can't laugh with you. It'll just laugh at you. Sometimes your kids actually laugh with you. Other times they do laugh at you, but that's okay. That's what you get. So God's given us free will. God didn't program us, so that's why it's so much evil in the world, and we live in a fallen, dark, broken world. But God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. All right, here we go. Verse 6. Now it gets personal. Now it gets deep. Paul told us we're the children of light. Here is John saying, if we say that we have fellowship with him, verse 6, and we walk or we practice darkness, we're a lie and do not, and we don't do the truth. So make a note. Don't fool yourself. If you say that I have fellowship, and that's what it's a difference between friendship, fellowship, and knowing somebody. Okay, fellowship is not friendship. But you can be a friend in fellowship. But you can't just be a friend and think that's fellowship. Fellowship talks about the intimacy with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that, you don't have fellowship with God. And then John is saying, if we say that we have fellowship with God, we have intimate fellowship with God, but I'm practicing dark, shady stuff, then you're lying. And you're not telling the truth. Now, we're not talking about the struggle, because we all struggle with something. We are an enemy, always trying to get you tempted, trying to accuse you of stuff. And you're like, Lord, help me as I try and navigate. But I'm talking about the practice where this is who I am. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And this is it. And I know God. John said, no, you're a lie. You're not fellowshipping with God. Not with that. Not with that mentality. You have to have a kingdom mentality. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, if we live, if we practice the light as God is light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's a beautiful thing. See, remember, it's not performance based. It's grace based, because we couldn't cleanse ourselves from our sin. Jesus Christ did that. But the fellowship comes with one another, even as we try and fellowship with one another. It's because we're walking in light. And you all know that. You're on your job, you're here, you're there, and it's people who are just doing all kind of crazy stuff. When you have the light of God in you, I mean, you can associate with people, but it's just, I can't hang out with y'all. I can't do it. And you can tell right away, I'm at the gym working out, and guys, the conversation, I just walk away, man. I can't have no fellowship with that. Why? Because the light's in me. I can't fellowship with dark. There's no connection there. There's no connection there. Yeah, do we work out? Yeah, but there's no connection there. You can only go so far. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We know that we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior. Well, that's the one question I ask the guys. What do you do with all the sin in your heart? Well, I'm good. Okay. All right. And see, like I said, I talk to men, man to man. I don't talk to ladies. You guys are wired different than us. So I can't say from a female point of view, because males and females are different. In the beginning, God created male and female. Different. You all look different. You all can have a baby. We can. Let's start there, okay? Can we start there? Show me the man that's getting ready to have a baby, and then I'll change my point of view. But we'll just start right there. Yeah, show me just one. Out of all these years, show me somebody who was born a male. And we have a science... My science, we're pretty good in science because there's a chromosome difference, too. How many chromosomes does a male have? What, Natalie, you're the scientist, right? How many chromosomes does a male have? Oh, okay, I got Jalen in the house, too. XY? Okay. I don't know. It's a difference. I know that much. Whatever's different.
There's
X, X, and XY.
Boys have XY and women have X.
So males have XY and okay. J-boy.
Just 23.
Say it again.
23.
23 chromosomes. For everybody.
Yes, everybody has 23 chromosomes. It's a difference with the...
XX and the YY. Okay, so it's different. Somebody put that there. All right. So show me the man that's getting ready to have a baby. I'll change my point of view. We're different. So when I speak man to man like these men I have in here, I'll just one question. What do you do with all the sin that you've committed? Where does your sin go? What do you do with it? You just stay with it, and then you go to God and hope you catch a break? Or do you confess it, and then Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness? Amen. That's all I asked him, man. I don't get into no theological debate, man to man. So if you're going to tell me you're a man, Jerry, and you don't sin, we cool. I'm getting away from you. I already told you that. I got to get away from you because something's going on. Because I know how men are wired. And what we see and what we think and what we've been programmed since we were this little by the enemy on what real manhood is, which is a lie. So what do you do with all that? So now we get to verse 9. It's a beautiful thing. I'm sorry, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Somebody's lying. Verse 2, I tried to stop there, but you know me, I got ADD. It just kept going. Chapter 2, verse 1, JL. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, that you don't practice sin. But if any man sin, we have an intercessor, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. See, it's not performance based, it's what Christ did for us. Our past, present, and future sins covered under the blood. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it is covered. But then that's not a license to sin because I know it's covered, so I could just live any kind of way. God said, no, because if you're a children of light, then you can't fellowship with darkness. You're not comfortable in darkness. So don't fool yourself. Verse 2 and 2. And here's our substitution, our propitiation for our sins. And not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Make a note, God does not discriminate. I don't care what the culture is trying to say. God said, I got everybody covered if they come to me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments, if we guard his commandments, if we practice living right. We know that we know God. You ever ran into somebody and said, I know you? I said, no, you don't. Or somebody said, you know, I know such and such. And then you meet them and you go, oh, well, you know, man, I know. See, because you're a brother. And then we used to go to the same school, but we never met. But I know. And no, you don't. You don't. God is saying, don't pretend you know me if you're not walking with me. Because it's not going to be one of those casual things where we talked about it last time when the virgins tried to get in and tried to borrow somebody's Holy Spirit. You're not going to be able to borrow somebody's Holy Spirit when you meet Christ. Either Jesus Christ comes back and takes us or we meet him upon our death. Either way, we meet him. Be ready either way. It's just horrible what's been happening in the news from Vegas to these fires up north where people are just being wiped out to the earthquakes in Mexico where you just go to bed and you don't wake up. You go to a concert and you don't come home. They said those fires moved so swift up north that people were just in bed and their whole house just got engulfed. And they just went to bed and didn't wake up. Bless you. We don't know the day or the hour when God's going to call us home. We don't know the day or the hour when he's going to come back. We have to be ready at all times is what Paul is saying. Let me finish this off. Where am I at? Verse 4. He that say, I know him and does not keep the commandments, and commandments are prescriptions. When you look at the word in the Greek, commandments are prescriptions. We talked about it before. It's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's a prescription on how to live well. Many of us, we go to the doctor. The doctor gives out a prescription and says, you need to take this so that you can get better. God says you need to live according to my word so you can live better. You wouldn't tell the doctor, I'm good. You don't know. I know you've been studying your whole life. I haven't studied one thing about medicine, but I don't know if I'm going to believe what you say. And it's okay to get a second opinion, though. I do understand that. But if the doctor's prescribing something for your well-being, most of us, bless you, most of us, we take it or we do it. God is prescribing commandments as guidelines, as a foundation, as a reminder, as a standard of how we are to live. So this is a prescription for a blessed life. So don't look at it as a list of things of, oh, now I can't do this and I can't do that. It's no, God is saving us from self-destructing. It's easy to self-destruct these days. All the parents know that. Everybody who's ever been a parent, we put things in place so our kids wouldn't self-destruct while they're under our care. And once they get older, you know, they're on their own. And when I say, well, let me skirt, praise the Lord, let me clarify that. Once they move out of the house, then they're on their own. Wait. Once they move out of the house and have their own job, yes, and self-sufficient, yes, and pay their bills and don't have to call us for anything but to say hi, then they're on their own. You can smile, Dominique. You can. Not on your own yet. You too. Now I'm talking about you. But every parent, we put things in place. Why would God be different? Why would God just let his children run around without any standards, without anything, without any foundation? Why would God do that? We would be a mess. We're a mess already with the standards in place. Can you imagine if we had no standards? Those of you that don't have kids, if you want to ruin your kid, let them tell you what to do. When they ask you what can they eat, tell them anything they like. When they ask you who can they hang out with, tell them anybody you want to. When they ask you what time do I have to be home, you tell them whenever they want to come home. When they say, do I have to go to school, you say, if you feel like it. If you want to ruin your kid, let them do whatever they want to do. A kid will be so jacked up and so lost. It'd be a big mess. So God's saying, why would I let you all be a big mess? See, because God said, I love you so much that I will discipline you. That's in the word. God says, I love you so much, when I catch you going too far, I'll discipline you to bring you back. Just like a good parent, when I see you going too far, I'm a discipline to bring you back before you self-destruct. Why would God be different, family? Why do we think God would just let us run wild and not have a standard? That's the darkness that has no standard, that do whatever you want to do. That's the children of the dark. It doesn't matter. Do whatever you want to do. But God said, you're the children. Paul says, you guys are the children of light. John says, if you have fellowship with God, then you walk in the light. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. Why would he let his kids walk around in darkness? Let me finish this up. Verse 4, he that said, I know him and I don't do what he prescribes is a liar. This is hard language. And the truth is not in him. But whoso guards his word, keeps his commandments, keeps his prescriptions, tries their best to practice the prescriptions of God, in him verily is the love of God perfected or made complete. Hereby we know that we are in him. Amen. How do you know if you're in God? Because you're practicing daily. Not for performance, but for connection. God's not looking for perfection. God is looking for connection. You're not in a play putting on a performance trying to please God with what you do. You're connected with God and you're trying to stay connected by living right, talking with God, and walking in the light. And let's finish with verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him should also walk even as God walked in the light. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. I'm gonna leave you out with an encouraging word. I'm not just gonna go all hard this morning. Okay? I'm gonna skip some lines and leave you with an encouraging word, and then we're gonna pick up the rest next week, right? Let's just look at verse 11. We'll come back to it next week. But this is what Paul is saying. This is what John is saying. We also had a section of scripture we'll get to with what Jesus says about the children of John. I was going to read John, not 1 John, but John 8:37 through 48, a very familiar passage that we've read before, but deserves repeating. So make a note of it, because I'll go over it next week. John 8:37 through 48. It's a heated discussion between Jesus and the Pharisees. They're talking about each other's mamas. They play in the dozens. They talk about each other's fathers and mothers. They talk about prostitutes, and they talk about racial slurs. But we didn't get to that. We'll get to that next week. And Jesus is saying, Paul is saying, there's children of darkness, children of light. John is saying there's children of darkness and children of light. And Jesus calls it what it is. Jesus said, you, the children of God and children of the devil. That's it. Your father is either God or your father is the devil. That's harsh language, including racial slurs in the Bible. But that's next week. So let me leave you with an encouraging word until next week. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11. So Paul goes through, he talks about the children of light, and we'll go over this next week, in darkness. But he says, verse 11, comfort yourselves together. With Christ coming back, knowing that we are the children of light, and that word comfort means encourage yourselves. Encourage yourselves together. And edify means to build up. So Paul said, it's a lot, family, it's a lot going on in the world. But encourage and build each other up, as I'm building and encouraging you up. Keep watch for Christ. Keep living as a children of light. That's what this message is saying. So encourage each other. Before you leave today, you give somebody a hug and you encourage them. You tell them, it's a lot going on, but keep walking as the children of light and keep building your life in Christ. Verse 11, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify, build, encourage, build one another, even as I'm building you. So the message is not to tear us down, but it's to build us up and to remind us of who we are and that Christ is coming back. And then the rest we'll pick up next week. So, but if you would, just bow your heads just for quick minute, we'll pray and we'll dismiss. Even as I was going over the word, I'm like, Lord, it's a tough word, but God, it's a tough world too. It's tough out there, family. We're going to walk out these doors and be challenged to live right. Somebody's going to try and get us to participate in some darkness. And we got to remember who we are. We're the children of light, and that Christ could come back like a thief in the night. So God, help us to remember who we are. You said to encourage and to build, because it's a dark, dying, decaying world. The word is so counterculture. Paul says, remember who you are, family. We are the children of light. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Keep God's prescriptions. It's to help you and I to live well. It's not to hinder us, but allow us to truly live well. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us who we are. Thank you for reminding us that you could come back like a thief in the night, or that we could go home to meet you like a thief in the night. Sudden and without warning, we could meet you at any moment. So let us be ready. Encourage one another. Be ready. Stay ready. Stay connected to Christ. Continue to fight the good fight. Yes, you might struggle, but don't make it a practice. Know who you are. Yes, we're going to struggle, but don't make it a practice. God, we accept the challenge to live for you. We accept the challenge to remember who we are, the children of light. Thank you for the reminder, Lord. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the challenge. Lord, maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I've never received him. That's all God requires. That we humble ourselves and that we receive Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, which we all have many. And we thank God for being our substitute on that cross. Cleansing us, if we confess our sins, it's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for being cleansed through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you're here and you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, elevate your hand and say, I want to pray for you. I'd pray for you this morning. I'll pray with you. Or maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I just need to get reconnected with God. I just feel a little distant from God. Got to make an effort. I got to make more of an effort to stay connected to God and get reconnected. I love to pray for you. We call that rededication. If you want to rededicate your life to Christ this morning, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you're saying, Pastor, I've been visiting, but I haven't made it official. I haven't joined the church. I need a place from the worship to the word where I can just come and just be refreshed and renewed and challenged and be reminded of who I am. And then to walk in my purpose and the method that God's called me to walk in. If that's you, elevate your hand if you want to join this morning. We're not members. We are family. Lord, we thank you. We love you because there's none like you. And there's nothing too hard for you. Thank you for this time of fellowship this morning. Bless you for this time of fellowship. I'm going to ask my sister Carrie to come up. I'm going to ask some of the ladies to come and surround her as well. She's going to pray for healing this morning. Be careful, her shoulder is out of joint, and we just want to pray and lay hands on her because we know that God does miracles so great. And just extend and touch someone. And those of you just in the congregation, just extend your hands towards us if you would. And Lord, we just pray for healing this morning, not only for Sister Carrie, but for all of us, Lord. Praying for mental healing, Lord. Heal our minds. So much garbage, so many decisions, so much going on, Lord. Heal our minds this morning. So we try our best to renew our minds with your word. We need that brainwashed because it's so filthy. We do need to be brainwashed and cleansed and cleansed and covered with the blood. Lord, heal our minds, heal our emotions. Let us not walk by what we feel, but let us walk by what we know. We know that you are God and there's none like you. We know that you are the great I am. We know that you are the El Shaddai, the Almighty. We know that you are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord God of peace. Let us not walk by what we feel. Let us walk by what we know and what your word says. Then heal our spirits, Lord. Our spirits have been broken by someone who was supposedly saved, stabbed us in the back, betrayed our trust, let us down, lied to us, and we blamed you for it. God, heal our spirit now. Because we've learned this morning that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Let us forgive people, Lord, that have wronged us, professing to be people of God. Heal our spirits this morning in the name of Jesus, Lord. Don't let us get you confused with what people do. We know that in you is light. God is light. And there is no darkness. So we pray for spiritual healing. Then we pray for physical healing, Lord. Heal our bodies. Infirm bodies. Touch them now. Pray for our sister, Carrie. Pray for all those in here with any type of spiritual need. Any type of healing. Mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. We're praying right now, Lord. Pray for relational healing, Lord. For the damage that's been done between husband or wife, brother and sister, mother and daughter, mother and son, father and daughter, father and son. We're praying for relational healing this morning. Most importantly, we pray for healing in our relationship with you, God. Thank you that you're always there for us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. You've always been there for us. So we thank you that our relationship through Jesus Christ has been healed with you. And we love you for that, Lord. It's not performance-based, it's grace-based. So we thank you for your healing this morning. Thank you for Carrie. Thank you for all those under the sound of my voice. That you're healing hearts, broken hearts. Heal the broken hearts from the lies that's been told, from the betrayals that's happened. Heal as only you can, Lord, and we love you. We thank you and we bless you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Lord, that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Stand to your feet, give someone a hug. In Jesus' name, you are dismissed. Amen.